Do you have time to read articles on the internet? No, nobody does. So we write lots of things at WeAreLibertarians.com, and I am now going to read those and put those into a podcast feed for you. So do me a favor. Go to WeAreLibertarians.com or go to your favorite podcatcher like iTunes or Google Play and search for We Are Libertarians. You can get the We Are Libertarians articles feed. You can also grab some of our other great podcasts like Creating Maya, Raw Audio Politics. Start listening to learn. While you're at WeAreLibertarians.com, scroll down to the bottom and you'll find the Audible advertisement. Click through that and get a free audiobook on us once you become a monthly subscriber. You can get great audiobooks from people like Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and Cato. Thanks for listening to We Are Libertarians.
This is Donald James of Impact Youth Mentoring. Impact Youth is a not-for-profit mentoring organization providing mentoring services to the children of Hendricks County. We pair mentors ages 16 and older with youth in Hendricks County. Over the past 5 years, we have been able to impact over 120 children through our mentoring and tutoring programs. Information about becoming a mentor or finding a mentor for a child can be found at impactyouthmentoring.org or via email at impactyouth1010@gmail.com.
This is Central Indiana Today with your host, Rob Kendall.
Welcome in to another edition of Central Indiana Today here on 98.9 WIRZ. I'm Rob Kendall, the host of the show. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Our good friend, quickly gaining national notoriety for his commentary and viewpoints about politics across the spectrum, Mr. Chris Spangle. Chris, how are you?
Thank you for having me. It's always nice to be in the hamlet of Brownsburg.
Your girlfriend lives in Pittsburgh.
She lives literally could toss a rock over into Brownsburg, but she won't because we don't want the two factions to war.
Right,
between
Pittsburgh and Brownsburg. Well, we do sell gas to Pittsburgh, though. We do. Our police, I think our town sells gasoline for like the Pittsburgh town vehicles.
You're telling me Pittsburgh doesn't make their own gas?
I mean, if the apocalypse happens, Pittsburgh's in big trouble because we're hoarding that gas, Buster. Okay, so you're a veteran of this show, but for people who don't know, you run the We Are Libertarians empire.
That's right.
You commentate, you write, you blog, and you're nice because you hate Democrats and Republicans equally, so you always give us a fair assessment of what's going on.
Hate's a strong word. Distrust, dislike, maybe more accurate than hate.
Okay. But either way, you are fair. You're not a homer.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and even within my own party, I find myself running up against people within the party. I would consider myself fairly independent when it comes to party, but I am a libertarian party member first and foremost.
So. You became well known because you were sort of the Rupert poobah. You mm-hmm. were like when Rupert ran for governor as libertarian, who did very well. Mm-hmm. And then Andy Horning did very well running for U.S. Senate. This was in 2012.
Correct.
You were the state director?
I was the executive director.
So they did very well. You got all the credit for it. So now you are probably the most famous libertarian in the state of Indiana.
And I put all the blame right on Sam Goldstein, the state chairman.
Yes, absolutely. Take credit for what you don't deserve and put blame elsewhere. That's
exactly
the way we do it. So libertarians just had and we'll talk about some Republican and Democrat issues too, but libertarians had a state convention that was very nasty.
I don't think it was nasty, but it was contentious, and it was the first time. I mean, we've had contested races, but this was a different contested race than we had ever had before. We had Rex Bell running against Jim Wallace. Former Republican ran against Mike Pence in the primary in 2012. He was kicked off the ballot by Mike Pence and Mitch Daniels and Mitch Robe and Tom John
not,
and all the
they,
other
Republicans. They did not kick Todd Young off the ballot.
The
though.
Republicans, yes. They took care of Jim Wallace and kicked him off the ballot, but they left Todd Young incorrectly on the ballot.
It's almost like they just make it up as they go along.
That's basically what it is, Rob. Anybody who watched the 2008 Ron Paul convention here in Indiana, that's the reason Greg Zeller is our state attorney general, is they changed Ron Paul rules to keep Ron Paul delegates from going to the national convention. And in a revolt, people voted against John Costas, the governor's pick for attorney general, and Greg Zeller was placed in the seat as a protest vote. 2012, the same thing happened across Indiana and the nation to screw Ron Paul delegates, and they've done it to the Trump people this year. They have.
I've been disenfranchised.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Todd Young, I know you were a Stutzman guy. Todd Young shouldn't be on the ballot.
But I was Stutzman guy because I don't like Todd Young.
Right.
Well, I think Todd Young is just not a good dude.
I don't know about his personal values, but I will say that I don't think that his... when I listen to him speak, I think there's nothing genuine about him.
That's what I meant from a political perspective.
Right. So Jim Wallace was a casualty of the political establishment coming out and kicking out a guy who was an insider. He funded his own campaign 4 years ago to the tune of $1 million. And he then, after he was removed from the ballot, got into a situation, an unfortunate situation, with some arrests. And it kind of came down to Rex Bell, who is the best Libertarian Party candidate that I've seen in my 10 years within the party, a guy who has won precincts as a congressional candidate against Luke Messer. I mean, I don't think a lot of people would think that.
Okay, but that's Luke Messer. I mean, who couldn't beat Luke Messer in some precincts?
Well, I think that a lot of people would be surprised that a Libertarian Party congressional candidate in 2012 won precincts against the other two parties in a three-way race. Rex Bell in 2010 was in a three-way race for House District 54 and almost came in second and was the first third-party candidate in 85 years to get above 20% in a three-way race. So he's an aggressive Libertarian candidate, although his personal style is a little bit folksy. And he's been involved in the party for 15 years. And then Jim Wallace, who had joined the party in December, came in and, you know, and ran a good campaign, an aggressive campaign, and just fell a little short. And a lot of it centered around his viability as a candidate. How would the other two parties, how would they deal with someone who had two arrests for domestic violence? And, you know, he had a good answer about that. And, you know, he has shared his side of the story with the delegates. And, you know, I'm certainly not a lawyer and I'm not here to argue one way or the other as to what happened in those situations. But anybody who understands politics knows that what perception is what perception is reality. And even if his answer satisfied the delegates, which I think it did as to what happened, I think it's going to move a lot of people away and leaves the party vulnerable to attacks. And I've heard since from people on both the Republican and Democratic sides, especially on the Republican side where Pence is taking no chances, that was going to be an issue. So for me, I was a firm Rex delegate. I spoke for Rex and against Jim because, as you know, a political person, I recognized that was a big liability. And you know, Jim is an impressive person. I know he's been on the show here. Jim is a very smart person. He's a good candidate. He's going to work within the party and help us grow. He is a Libertarian. I talked to him in 2010 about running for governor in 2012, and I was impressed by him then. But when the choice for the delegates came down to Rex Bell, a longtime party member with a proven track record of success, and a guy who was newer to the party, I think the delegates decided that they wanted to work with Jim and they wanted to get to know Jim, but they weren't ready to trust him with an incredibly important election for Libertarians in this cycle.
Okay, so we had Abdul on last week. That's your mentor.
Of course,
he was he was like your boss. Right?
I met Abdul in 2004, December of 2004, when I became his intern, and he had been here 3 months. And then I worked with him for 4 years and then, you know, sparred with him back and forth when I was the executive director for another four. And he was in my wedding.
Okay, so he wasn't your minister, was he?
Like, no. He offered to be in my wedding as the token black guy. So how could you say no to that?
Okay, so we had Abdul on last Friday, and he expressed some concern that Rex maybe doesn't have the pizzazz necessary in a year that libertarians, and I think pizzazz is the word I'm using. I'm trying to encapsulate his thoughts. And anybody interested can go back and listen to the podcast of that interview with Abdul at WIRZ.org. But I think he worries that Rex might not have some of the pizzazz, the flamboyance, the I'm going to be out there and be very visible, compelling, overly charismatic qualities in a year that libertarians may be being looked at by a lot of people for the first time. Do you share any of those sentiments?
I don't. I think that Abdul's wrong. Rex
Can
Bell,
we record that?
Yes.
We'll send that to him.
Abdul, while his opinion is valued by me, this is a year when voters want trust and authenticity out of a candidate. And I think when voters get to know who Rex Bell is, they will see that he's one of the most trustworthy men that you possibly could meet. He is the type of Hoosier and the type of person that John Gregg and Mike Pence are trying to portray themselves as. Rex has been, you know, he's an author. He writes for like 200 newspapers and various news outlets around the state. That may not be an accurate number. I don't know if there's 200, but it's like some ridiculous number of
people.
We've
had Trump on this show, so you just wing it and make it up and you'll fit right
Rex
in.
Rex writes for 4,000 newspapers across the state of Indiana.
and they're all great. They love him so much.
A guy who has spent a long time writing and thinking about how the libertarian philosophy and how applies to Indiana government. He has been out and he has been running for office at the state level and the federal level several cycles, and he's proven to be successful. And I don't think that this is the problem with the media. And I include Abdul in this. I include Jim Shella and some of the other deans.
Am I media?
No. You wore a Trump hat to the Trump rally.
Because I'm more of a fanboy, right?
Yeah, we'll get to you later.
Because I get criticized all the time when I tell people I am not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Exactly right. Same as me. But the people in the Indiana media don't show up to observe what happened. They show up to confirm the notions that they've already crafted before they show up to the meeting. So somebody shows up to interview Rex, they're just there to get quotes for the story that they've already written instead of actually observing and journaling what happened to give people their thought. They're crafting the news. They're crafting opinion, which Abdul's job is to craft opinion. But the truth is that if the Indiana media sits down and spends some time with Rex, spends some time getting to know who he is, what he believes, they'll understand that this is a man who has a lot of knowledge about state government. He is a wise person. He is a person that we can trust, and he's an authentic person. And he's not going to make stupid errors like our current governor. He's not going to flip-flop and change his beliefs based on what the winds of polls are saying, like John Gregg. The delegates have watched Rex in action, and, you know, I think from the political insider view, it's foolish to say to a guy like Jim Wallace, who claimed that he was going to fund his campaign to $1 million and go with a party insider, but the people who know Rex Bell best and the people who have spent a lot of time interviewing both candidates decided that Rex Bell is the guy with pizzazz. And now Rex has a very, like I said, folksy manner. If you go to rexbell.com or electrexbell.com or YouTube him, he's not there's like a 1930s movie star by the name of Rex Bell. This is a different one. You will see that Rex, you know, he's a contractor who's owned his own business and run his own business for 40 years. And has not been in the political arena. He's been out there running for office and involved in local politics, but he has been not a career politician. So yeah, he may not be as polished as Mike Pence. He may not be as polished as John Gregg. But I think in this election cycle, we don't want that. You know, and I will say, not Rupert 4 years ago, nobody has more pizzazz or sparkle than Rupert, you know, wearing tie-dye to debates. And Rupert,
he wear a suit when they were on stage?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
No. He wore the dungarees with the tie-dye tank top, Rob.
Well, I mean, I told you this last time you guys were on the show. I think you vehemently disagree, and you are in charge. I think he would have done well to shave the beard and cut the hair, but you guys felt that it was great to leave him out there as,
why?
As Rupert.
No, the problem with Rupert is that we tried to make him too political, and we didn't allow Rupert to be Rupert. And I think that if you look at Donald Trump, yeah, it may be your conventional wisdom of the political insider class may be, hey, Donald Trump needs to be more polished. Donald Trump needs to be more this, more that. He needs to be more like Hillary Clinton. Voters don't want that. And voters rewarded Rupert by doubling our percentage, doubling our vote total for governor in 2012. And we didn't go far enough with Rupert. We listened to that advice and we tried to force Rupert into that, inside that political box. And frankly, that was the wrong thing to do. And it would be the wrong thing to do with Rex. You know, people don't want that. People can sense when somebody is trying too hard or is not claiming to be who they are. And I think that that's going to continue to be the case. So, you know, Rupert, we learned a valuable lesson in 2012. Rupert was doing this full time. Rupert was out there campaigning full time and drawing lines and talking to tens and thousands of people.
There were a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people
absolutely
come to the Rupert events.
And Rupert will be out there campaigning for Rex. Jim Wallace, I'm sure, will be out there campaigning for Rex. We have a lot of surrogates across the state. Our lieutenant gubernatorial candidate, Carl Tagenhorst, is a very active candidate, and he'll be all over the north of the state. And, you know, you're going to see libertarians make an effort like never before, but Rupert also ran into significant financial challenges by putting his entire business, charity, life on hold for a year. And, you know, I don't think it's any mystery that the libertarians, they don't raise and spend the same amount of money, and you don't raise money to pay a candidate in the first place. So should we as libertarians ask our candidate to bankrupt themselves and Rex's construction business? So, you know, we're going to meet all of the obligations that I think any candidate has, but people inside the political media establishment don't recognize that, and they don't show up to those events, and they don't come out and they don't watch the libertarian candidate. In 2012, the only one that did that was Maureen Hayden,
and Maureen, we love Maureen,
and Maureen Hayden was not favorable to Rupert, but impressed by Rupert, because she showed up without her story already written. And she showed up and watched Rupert talk to people and wrote about what a dynamic force he was in Indiana politics. So does Rex lack the pizzazz? I don't know. Find out for yourself, because the political established media will not do that.
All right. Again, our guest is Chris Spangle, former... I just call you the grand poobah.
I'm the president of all libertarians.
You are the most famous libertarian in the state of Indiana. You run the We Are Libertarians media empire.
Duke Oliver, was an Indianapolis City County Councilor, introduced me to Joanne Sanders, who was president of the council at the time. As this is Chris, he's the president of all libertarians.
I interviewed Pence, aired on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and I just get great interviews, don't I?
I know.
I mean, I was not expecting that.
It really has gone uphill this week, honest.
That's right. We went from the governor to Mayberry in the Midwest special to now you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the sense that the governor is not screwing around. He recognizes he has deep challenges, and he is going to throw the hammer down on John Gregg. What do you think, broad spectrum? I want you to take off the libertarian hat for a minute, mm-hmm. as a commentator about this 2016 race. I think it's going to get very nasty very fast.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think that was a key factor in why I was a Rex delegate, not a Wallace delegate, because in 2012, we got death threats at our campaign by Democrats saying that we lost that election, that the Libertarians stole Democrat votes.
Didn't the Republicans say the same thing, though?
Yeah, but see, we draw from both parties equally. It's a third, a third, a third, so a third of independents. I do. I think that this is going to be a brutal campaign. I think Pence is ready for it, despite his inane, unexplainable, undesired response last week to the trans bathrooms issue. He just decided he'd put out a press release on it, because anybody was asking your opinion about a federal issue. It's not that Mike Pence was wrong. It's just that sometimes you should shut up and you shouldn't shoot yourself in the foot. And Mike Pence, as governor, as a candidate 4 years ago, Mike Pence was very disciplined. Mike Pence didn't say...
Because he had me working
well,
for him.
Well, he didn't say anything. He ran on platitudes. He gave absolutely zero red meat, and he treated the press like crap. And yet he still won with like 50, 60, you know, I think it was like...
Well, he didn't get 50% of the vote.
Yeah, it was not above 50.
And if it had gone on two more weeks, he would have lost.
Absolutely. You know, so this
because
type,
of you guys. He won because of you guys.
Right, of course. well, I'm sure that the, you know, God's rape is God's will comment from your Senate candidate didn't help.
Well, I mean,
Mike Pence
either. And I wrote about this in the Forefront column the other day about Pence, and I said I think he got unfairly linked to that really hurt him.
Right.
But I do think if that race would have gone on two more weeks, he'd have lost.
Because who believes that that Mike Pence is anything but a social conservative first? And that statement that he put out last week about trans bathrooms and unfunded mandates and unchecked federal power, he didn't talk about the fiscal side of it. He didn't talk about the government overreach of power. He talked about respecting the rights of religious folks. And listen, I am a Christian, and I totally understand that we are moving into a post-Christian world, but at the same time, trying to play victim and trying as a political party, the Republicans have killed their entire brand by standing with people like Micah Clark and Eric Miller and writing legislation for those people specifically. And so Mike Pence continues to leave himself totally vulnerable on gay rights.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because to me the issue is not the social side of it. It's that the federal government is trying to dictate a policy to the states, which they don't have under the Enumerated Powers Clause.
Yeah.
And to me, it seems like a missed opportunity, because he could speak to a guy like you and you would go, yeah, that's right, Pence,
yeah,
you tell him. But instead, he misses the boat.
Instead of saying nothing, which would have been the smartest thing to do as a candidate, or coming out and saying the White House and 536 men in Washington, D.C., and the federal education department has no business telling the Brownsburg School Corporation what they should and should not do.
Only Rob Kendall can tell the Brownsburg School Corporation
that's exactly
what they
right.
can and can't do.
And instead of doing that and speaking to, you know, the more libertarian strain of the right, he came out and spoke to the very small minority of the population that wants basically a Christian theocracy. And I don't quite understand, because he's got those people. And instead of he's trying to shore up that base, and instead what he's doing is alienating potential voters on the left and the right.
Again, our guest is Chris Spangle of the We Are Libertarians media empire. We'll talk a little bit about the governor's race. Chris is going to be with us tomorrow, too, so we're going to talk about some broader spectrum mm-hmm. national issues. But talking about state of Indiana right now, I'm torn on this race because Greg's an idiot, so I can't vote for him.
Well, he's a flip-flopper. I mean, you know, he leaves himself vulnerable to saying one thing this year that he didn't say 4 years ago. Rupert was the first gubernatorial candidate in Indiana history that came out fully for LGBT rights. And John Gregg believed that in civil unions. And now you're going to see him make that the central issue of his campaign, and he has no credibility on it.
Well, and he was awful when he was the head of the Indiana House of
yep.
Representatives. He was
absolutely.
Just terrible. So he's out, 100% out. I do look at some of the things, and this is the argument that Pence is making, that do you really, and Abdul wrote about this, we talked about this on last week, do you want to undo 12 years of progress in Indiana? I know it's probably, you don't necessarily see it maybe in the light that some people do, but our state fiscally, financially better off than it was. A lot of people like Daniels.
I liked Mitch Daniels.
Yeah, and I figured you may have voted for Mitch Daniels.
I did the first time around because I was a Republican. I voted for Andy Horning his second time around.
So you were the one that voted for Andy Horning.
Andy got a lot of votes that year.
Andy's an interesting guy. We'll get to Andy in a little bit. But the argument is, do you really want to undo all these things? Do you really want to put a Democrat in charge of the Department of Education, have unfettered access, unions, da, da, da. And then I say, no, I don't. But then I really like Rex Bell, too. Mm-hmm. I think Rex Bell is definitely the most likable candidate in the race and may have the best policy positions.
He has the best policy positions. He's the most honest. He's the most trustworthy. He's the most authentic. He has the best judgment. And at the end of the day, you're not going to feel disgusted with yourself after voting for Rex Bell in November. libertarians are, I got involved in the Libertarian Party in 2008 because I had been a reporter for WXNT for a long time.
You were a Republican delegate.
I was a Republican delegate in 2004, and I went and realized that my vote made absolutely zero difference in 2004. And then I went to work for Abdul, and I watched the two parties from inside, and I realized that Republicans were no better than anyone else. 2004, when I was working on Andy Horning's congressional campaign, and he was running as a Republican in the 7th District against Julia Carson. And the Mitch Daniels campaign was going around and stealing Andy Horning's yard signs, stealing the signs of a fellow Republican. And that's when the first time when I went, oh, maybe this whole thing is rigged. You know, and fast forward to years later, you know, watching the political system from the inside as a reporter, I realized we desperately need a third party in this state, that we are not a two-party system. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to vote for lighter chains. You know, when we're looking at what the Republicans are offering us, especially as a libertarian person who believes in the right of the individual to govern themselves, the Republican Party doesn't do that. They don't offer me the choice of individual freedom. They offer me lighter chains. The Democrats want to get us there faster, but they're still taking us to an evil place. You know, the Department of Education still exists despite all of the, you know, the work by the third in the House, Mike Pence, to try and destroy the Department of Education. When he was in the House of Representatives, did they not pass No Child Left Behind? Did he not vote for it? He isn't a libertarian. He doesn't share my values. And if you have principles, then you should actually vote on them, because I'm so tired, I'm so sick and tired of hearing, well, I've got to vote for the lesser of two evils, because if I don't, then Hillary's going to get in. And you know what you end up with? Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump.
And this
listen, great, and I'm going to, we've argued about this on We Are Libertarians, but I'm going to say it here and you can refute me afterwards. My grandmother didn't speak to me for 6 months when I took the job as executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana because I was stealing votes from Republicans. That's how Republican she is. She was disappointed in her grandson. I talked to her on Mother's Day and she said, I'm voting for a libertarian because Donald Trump is the only person that makes me think that Hillary is an honest person. So we now are at a point where we have a completely liberal Republican president who believes in big government and tyranny, and a Democratic president in Hillary Clinton who is a complete power-hungry...
There's certain words you can say on your podcast you can't say here.
I know. So I'm tired of hearing the lesser of two evils because the result is failure. If you continue to vote for the two parties, you continue to vote for your own chains and your own failure.
All right. I know everybody heard that. You've insulted Donald Trump. People are on the edge of their seats waiting for me to roar back. But that's a great place to leave it for today.
Did people listen to your interview with Donald Trump?
It was great.
Did you play it?
It was so great. Of course we played it.
I can't understand. I don't know if you were doing performance art and mocking him to his face or you were serious.
We will talk about it tomorrow. Chris will be back with us. Don't forget, if you missed any part of our conversation today with Chris Spangle of We Are Libertarians, you can check out the podcast anytime you want by logging onto our website at wyrz.org. Until tomorrow, I'm Rob Kendall saying have yourself a great evening.
You've been listening to Central Indiana Today with your host, Rob Kendall.
This is Donald James of Impact Youth Mentoring. Impact Youth is a not-for-profit mentoring organization providing mentoring services to the children of Hendricks County. We pair mentors ages 16 and older with youth in Hendricks County. Over the past 5 years, we have been able to impact over 120 children through our mentoring and tutoring programs. Information about becoming a mentor or finding a mentor for a child can be found at impactyouthmentoring.org or via email at impactyouth1010@gmail.com. This is Donald James of Impact Youth Mentoring. Impact Youth is a not-for-profit mentoring organization providing mentoring services to the children of Hendricks County. We pair mentors ages 16 and older with youth in Hendricks County. Over the past 5 years, we have been able to impact over 120 children through our mentoring and tutoring programs. Information about becoming a mentor or finding a mentor for a child can be found at impactyouthmentoring.org or via email at impactyouth1010@gmail.com.
This is Central Indiana Today with your host, Rob Kendall.
Welcome into another edition of Central Indiana Today here on 98.9 WIRZ. I'm Rob Kendall, the host of the show. Thanks for joining us back for a second day. Our friend Chris Spangle of We Are Libertarians. Chris, hello.
Thank you for having me again.
All right. Well, it's our pleasure. For those who don't know, Chris and I were sort of media partners. Chris invites me on his We Are Libertarians podcast. And that's another side of Rob. People really just see the professional side of Rob here. We get a little more open on the We Are Libertarians.
We're very open on We Are Libertarians. We talk a lot about our lives, and it's like listening to your friends sit around the kitchen table talking about politics and busting each other's... it's community radio.
Well, and for people who don't know, we do this several times. You guys are now like... You just started this like basically in your apartment, and it's grown.
Oh, yeah. 4 years ago, we started it actually in Rupert for Governor headquarters, and we had like a little podcast studio there, and we, by the end of the year, had 72 listeners, and I couldn't believe it. And we're up over 4,000, which puts us in the top 20% of all podcasts. I mean, so it's been great.
You do live appearances now. You guys are requested places. So you're sort of, it's laughable. We laugh at it, but it's an inspirational story for anybody who might want to get into that field.
Yeah, May 23rd at Morty's, we're having a live show, Morty's Comedy Joint. So you show up at 7 o'clock. You can watch the podcast live.
And I was told I got invited to this.
We actually had 53 people. We beat Chick McGee and Christy at their podcast, which was a point of pride for me. I mean, I couldn't...
Because you work for Bob and Tom.
I do, yeah. I couldn't believe it. So we're growing leaps and bounds, and this is the year when people are really open-minded to hearing what libertarians have to say, not only libertarians, but also Big L Libertarian Party people.
Right. Okay, so when we left everybody yesterday, you had just thrown a big giant grenade at Donald Trump. You also then insulted my interview with Donald Trump.
I didn't insult it. I just didn't know if it was genuine performance art where you were mocking him to his face or if you actually believe that.
Well, it's getting ridiculous because I haven't accomplished a whole lot, but I feel like I have. You know, I've spent 15 years in radio and, you know, I was the youngest elected official in the county and we did a whole lot of great stuff when I was elected. But I am now known just as the guy who interviewed Trump. Like, total strangers will come up and go, hey, are you the guy that interviewed Trump? And it's like, no, I'm Rob Kendall.
Did you interview Trump with that extremely small board that you have sitting there?
Yes, it was this very small board. Chris often makes fun of my mobile board by which I record the show with.
It's very little. It's sad.
It's very small. Now, here's the deal. You were on me at the first. We both got media passes to the first Trump rally. Now, you've got to admit that was very nice of Mr. Trump to put a We Are Libertarians group giving media passes to his event.
Why? We're nonpartisan and
you hate Trump.
Yeah, but my co-host Greg is a Trump supporter, and I don't hate. Well, I do hate Trump. Yeah. But I will say that it was informative, and we've written on WeAreLibertarians.com about our impressions of the event. I was actually very surprised that we got media passes, but it didn't surprise me too much because the Republicans want to try and court the largest block of independent voters, i.e. libertarians.
Okay, but so I went, and I wore my Trump hat, and you were very critical that I wore my Trump hat with a media pass.
I have on my hanging on my wall all of my media passes from the last 10 years of working in local media. I have dozens and dozens of media credentials.
Are you like Ron Burgundy, many leather-bound books, but instead yours are media mini press passes?
I have never in my life been in a press pit at a political event with a member of the quote-unquote press who was wearing campaign gear for said rally. It was unbelievable. And the funniest part was when Trump would make fun of the media and go, look at those dishonest liars. And everybody turns around and looks at us, and Rob and I are sitting front and center, right directly in front of Mr. Trump. And he is saying what a bunch of dishonest liars the media is. And Rob is sitting there waving with his stupid hat on. And like, nobody could take it seriously because everybody in the crowd just started laughing because they're like, Clearly something's wrong. Something is wrong with something.
We ruined Mr. Trump's rally because we threw off his... that's like, it's like going to a concert. You know, there's spots in the concert, you know, it's going to happen. And there's spots in the Trump rally where he's going to insult the media. And there's a guy in a Trump hat. I ate that up. I loved it.
We Are Libertarians on our YouTube channel. I have video of that. And then at the end, your big cheese.
And then the other great part was the next one. I was in the audience, but I was right behind him on television the whole time.
Yeah. Right.
But here's the deal. I am not a journalist. I am not unbiased. I am very fair when people come on as guests on the show. I'm not a gotcha person. Sure. I had Pence on, as we talked about earlier this week. I was very nice, even though I have some serious issues with the governor. Still very nice. If I have Greg on, I'll be very nice. Rex Bell comes on, I'll be very nice. But I am not unbiased. I have an opinion.
Of course.
I am quite candid about that opinion, and I am a Donald Trump fanboy.
And listen, I have a very, obviously I work for We Are Libertarians. I have a very definite point of view. But I am very fair. I do, you know, if I sat down and did an interview with Mike Pence, I would ask him tough questions, but I also would be fair to him and not try and do any kind of gotcha. But I think that if you show up to a press event and you're wearing campaign gear, your ability to, just like we talked in yesterday's episode about Abdul and the Indiana media, how they show up with their narrative already formed, and now they're just trying to verify what they already think is happening. You know, you show up in the campaign gear, you don't get the unbiased look. You get people's reactions towards what you're wearing. You also diminish the amount of respect that the rest of the press has for you, Rob Kendall.
Well, that means so much to me.
Which is tremendous.
Yes, I've really cared so much over the years about what others think of me. So
Brian Howie was just looking like, who is this guy? Howie of Howie Politics, Indiana.
So I've been asked so many times by people on air and off, how did you get the Trump interview? And I said, because Donald Trump is a gorilla. You can put him at a Wendy's at 2 a.m. 10,000 people are going to show up. So it doesn't matter who you put him with. Just podcast the thing and people will hear it.
Right.
And so they said, why wouldn't they put him with me? I mean, why wouldn't you let Rob do the interview?
You're wearing a Make America Strong Again Trump. Don't just...
My mother got me this
shirt. Just don't hope for change. Vote for it. And you're wearing your Donald Trump hat.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he interview you? And at the end, he's like, oh, I wish all my interviews went like this. Yeah, because he just, I wish I could say what I want to say.
Yeah, this is not the interview.
It was a very favorable interview. It was very happy for Mr. Trump.
I mean, it literally may have made my career, though, because I am now the guy that interviewed Donald Trump. That's all I'm known as. Rob Kendall, the guy that cut more taxes than anybody in the history of Hendricks County, that doesn't matter. Youngest elected official in the county, doesn't matter. $50 million of infrastructure in his hometown, doesn't matter. I'm the guy that interviewed Trump. Forever and always. That's who I will
and
be.
And what an interview it was.
Oh, it was great. The greatest 15 minutes of my life. Okay, we bring up Trump, and the reason we bring that up is the Libertarians have a lot at stake this year because in polling, the generic libertarian man is doing very well against Clinton, or relatively well. I mean, they're not winning. They're not within the margin of error, but they're doing very well in a Clinton-Trump presidential election. And there's a national convention coming up where you guys are going to select the nominee. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Tell us how it works.
Okay, so the three front runners, there's always like 20 different people running for president in any party, but in the Libertarian Party, where it's much more egalitarian and the delegates truly are allowed to select their candidate.
Yeah, because people don't vote on them like they do the president, the Republican or Democrat.
Like, Austin Peterson won the Missouri primary because he's from Missouri, but it has no effect on our convention. It's just another sign of strength for that campaign. So
but what I'm saying is, like, the Joe citizen does not go to the polls and vote. You have to be a delegate to the state convention.
Sure.
Is that right?
So even here in Indiana, our primaries are closed party business. If you go and vote, that's why you had to select Republican or Democrat, and you couldn't select a Libertarian ballot. It's because the Republicans and the Democrats force the taxpayer to pay for their closed party business,
which is awful. It's terrible.
And the Libertarians do it at convention, paid for by party membership.
And you guys invited me this year.
We did.
You guys were very gracious.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, that's why when you walk in and you're forced to select, it's not an open primary, it's a closed primary. And so the Libertarians do it at convention.
Although I won an open primary once, so I do owe my life to an open primary.
Right. And so at the end of the month, on race weekend, down in Orlando, Florida, the delegates will vote on our presidential candidate. The three strongest are former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who was our candidate in 2012, who is...
You like Johnson.
I do.
Now, are you voting in this?
I'm not going because I'm going... Well, I was going to the Indy 500. Don't get me started. Gary is a very credible person. He did a great job as our candidate last time. He's the one that the media is familiar with because of the amount of media work he did last time.
A former Republican.
Yep. He is a former Republican governor in the late 90s of New Mexico.
Is this convention again?
At the end of the month during race weekend.
Okay.
Memorial Day weekend. And he is the guy who vetoed more bills, like 700 bills over his two terms, more than all 49 other governors combined. Very libertarian. He's been a member of the party since the late 80s, early 90s. His competition is John McAfee, the former software guy.
I like McAfee. I don't necessarily like McAfee.
Yeah, that's because
personally.
You like insane people. And John McAfee, while he is a very likable, smart candidate, he's also a little bit of henna crazy, which we know you love. When you're in a debate and you say, "No, I didn't kill that guy," in Belize, I didn't kill my neighbor. You know, that makes me go, listen, you're not allowed to kill people before you're president. After, everybody loves when you kill people when you're president. But
so for those who don't know with McAfee, the story, he is the guy that founded McAfee virus software, right. Antivirus software, right. On computers. So he's very wealthy.
Right.
And then he's very conspiracy oriented,
yeah.
Went off the grid, moved to Belize. There was a murder of his neighbor. He was long suspected to be the culprit, mainly because he led the police on a chase of himself for fun, basically, now it's come out.
Right.
Taunted the media, and then it turned out he didn't do it, right?
Yeah, but that's not the story that the media is going to tell. They're going to talk about how he's a little unhinged.
Oh, he's very unhinged.
So I am not for McAfee as our presidential candidate. I still would vote for him over Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And then the third front runner is Austin Peterson. He is a guy who was the TV producer for Judge Napolitano on Fox News. He worked for the Libertarian Party. He runs his own media company. He is a very well-spoken, very principled candidate. He's young, and so that's why I think that he is probably second.
Like, how old is he?
He's 35, which means he's just right at the age.
And so he's barely old enough.
But he is a very intelligent person. He's built a great business and a great campaign at a very young age, and he talks about the age of our founders and how young they were. So that's why I think that the media picks up on Gary Johnson more than the other two. But I could see that if Johnson really doesn't win it on that first ballot, he could have problems, because he'll have hit his ceiling on the first ballot. And then once all those other candidates shed off, I think the majority of the other 15 candidates, their support will go for Austin or McAfee. And
I'm really rooting for McAfee because I think that would just be so awesome to see McAfee and Trump on stage with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
she may quit.
Austin is just about everybody's second, I think. And so I think that if it goes to a second ballot, then Austin Peterson could be the nominee. But I expect that Johnson will be our nominee. I think that he is the one that, listen, there's in politics, in modern politics, you've got to have pragmatism and you've got to have principles. So I'm a libertarian because I believe in my principles, but at the same time, we've got to look at it like I would probably identify closer to Austin's ideology. I think that Gary Johnson, who I am like 95% with, is the person that is going to get us the most media coverage. If we can get the presidential candidate in 2016 to a vote total of 5%, that puts us in the public financing system. So when you go to fill out your taxes and you mark $3 for the presidential electors fund or whatever, that goes to this public financing. So our budget in 2012 for him was a couple million dollars. This would make it somewhere around 70 or 80. And that would be a huge game changer
for us.
That's
ground game, that's TV ads,
yes.
That's all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and Gary Johnson has sued the debate commission. So Johnson has helped the party in two major ways over the last 4 years. He has helped sued for ballot access. He has ensured that we'll be on all 50 ballots. Because ballot access is incredibly difficult for libertarian candidates because we've let Pepsi and Coke write the antitrust laws, and we can't figure out why RC Cola just can't get traction, you know, because the Republicans and Democrats control everything, including the Presidential Debate Commission. They took the presidential debates away from the League of Women Voters and put it into the hands of the Presidential Debate Commission, which was formed by the Republican and Democratic Party. And then we can't figure out why the Libertarians and the Independents can't get in the presidential debates.
Because Perot is really the only third-party guy in recent memory that got access, right?
Isn't it funny how the League of Women Voters debate was canceled and put into the hands of this two-party body after Ross Perot? Because we can't have that sort of thing happening again.
And I think both of my parents voted for Perot.
Yeah, so if we can get to 15% in national polling for a candidate, then they have to allow, by their own bylaws, they will allow the Libertarian candidate into the debates.
What is it, 15?
15%. Although Gary Johnson has sued the debate commission under antitrust laws, saying that this is a cartel and that you can't play a cartel with the public trust in this way, and therefore you have to open up the debates to people that are on a significant amount of ballots, mainly just Gary Johnson, because Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, won't be on more than 20 or 30 ballots.
Okay, and again, our guest is Chris Spangl of We Are Libertarians. We're talking a little bit about, we're talking about third parties right now, talking about libertarian ballot access. And the reason we're doing this is here in Hendricks County, there has been a somewhat strong showing by the local Libertarian Party. You guys had a great county convention. Our friend Michael Dowden, who ran for county council a couple years ago, did very well, was kind of oversaw that. You have multiple Libertarian candidates. I think you got one running for state house and mm-hmm. state senate on the ballot this fall. So there is a strong influx of Libertarian thinkers and voters mm-hmm. right here in Hendricks County. So I think this will be of great interest. And I think Libertarians may do very well here in Hendricks County ballot-wise, whether it's for U.S. Senate or State Senate or President in Hendricks County this mm-hmm. year.
I wouldn't see why not. I think most people are Libertarian. I think most people don't ever look at the Libertarian philosophy or the Libertarian Party because of a lack of access to information. And they never make the effort to go look it up because they may not have ever heard of it. Or they're so full of fear and notions like, well, if I vote for this guy, then that guy or that lady will win. And so I can't risk it. And I think we're getting to a point where people just need to stop making the same choice over and over. You know, that's the definition of insanity. We want things to get better and we keep voting for the same two parties. So I wouldn't see why we wouldn't have a very strong result here in Hendricks County. I grew up in Plainfield, and Hendricks County is a very practical county and full of great libertarians who are who may not just not know it yet.
I really think as you guys start fielding more candidates, I think that is the key, is getting that libertarian on the ballot, because quite frankly, there aren't many Democrats, and libertarians become not the third party option in Hendricks County, but a lot of times they become the second party option.
Nearly 70% of the Indiana General Assembly runs unopposed, or they run against us. You know, when I ran, I really realized this very quickly when I was the executive director and was recruiting candidates. Most people who are in the General Assembly never have to interview for their jobs. They never have to run a campaign because nobody ever challenges them. And, you know, people talk about third parties, but the Libertarian Party in the majority of counties in the state, we're the second party. And a Republican county like this, there isn't a thriving Democratic Party. And if you look in the 7th District against Andre Carson, the Republican brand is so damaged in the 7th District that, you know, an anti-war, pro-LGBT rights candidate like Drew Thompson could be the second alternative to Andre Carson, because Republicans can vote for Drew Thompson, Democrats can vote for Drew Thompson, Independents can vote for Drew Thompson, whereas, you know, the Republican and Democratic brands in most of these areas are damaged. And, you know, you mentioned candidate recruitment, and this is a frequent complaint that I hear, is that there aren't enough candidates. And my answer back is, then why aren't you involved in running? Because we are not a party that is centrally planned. There is no Bob Grand magically waving his finger and putting a candidate on the ballot like in Todd Young's case. You know, we are a party that if you want to be establishment, you show up, you come to 15 meetings, you pay $10, you pay $25 for a year for membership. You're establishment. You know, if you show up more than three meetings in a row, you're establishment. You know, it's just people have to, people want to complain and whine about the situation that is our government. And nobody wants to do anything about it. And I just get tired of hearing complaints about this party or that party. And then that person, the least they do is vote. If they vote.
It will be very interesting to see how libertarians do this year. And we've talked about this on air and off. This is a huge year. And we just talked about the it's a good thing you, for the libertarian perspective, you have candidates on the ballot in Hendricks County, because a lot of people this year have said enough is enough with both sides. And they're going to take a long, hard look. How much pressure does that put on a guy like Rex Belt, the top of the ballot, to say, look, you got to not only work for yourself to try to get to that, whatever, you know, 7, 8, 9%, whatever it is, to make the party continue to better itself, but you've got to help these down ballot candidates. And that's a position libertarian top of the ticket guys haven't really been in before.
I don't know. I think that there just hasn't been the awareness, but I think that was always the case. I mean, you know, I look at, and I don't know that everybody in the Libertarian Party agrees with me on this, I look at our upper ballot races like a Senate race, like a gubernatorial race, as a marketing challenge. You know, those are marketing opportunities for us to help those down ballot candidates. You know, Rupert killed himself in 2012 trying to do grassroots politics. And to be quite frank, the Libertarian Party doesn't have, you know, we've got 92 counties. And we don't have a strong contact in several.
Do you,
you know,
have donors? Like, do you have? Do you have like wealthy people that are like, I'm a libertarian, here's money?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, so it's so a grassroots race at the top.
Are
of
they
the
open
ticket.
About it? Are they like open that I'm a libertarian, here's money?
Some are, some aren't.
Because I would think in the business world, which tends to be where most of your wealthy donors come from, they've got to play nice with the Republicans and Democrats because they craft all the laws.
It's not a large pool, and it is if you're politically interested and you are a client of Bob Grand of Barnes and Thornburg, you're probably not going to make it known that you're a Libertarian Party supporter. But we need more men of courage in this day and age, standing up and saying that I'll, you know, come at me, bro. You know, that's what a man of courage would say. But yeah, we at the top of the ticket, it just doesn't make sense for us to put our resources into a U.S. Senate race. It makes sense to put our resources into those smaller races and put people at the top of the ticket that are going to run really solid races and help those candidates. You know, Rupert, when he ran for governor 4 years ago, and Rex will do the same, made an effort to go out and walk with candidates, knock door knock with candidates, ride in parades, show up at county fairs. You know, and I know Jim Wallace, had he been our candidate, he had several plans to help down ballot candidates. You know, that is really the focus of what those upper, you know, federal and statewide races are. They're really marketing opportunities. Those are the races that people care the most about, yet they're the races that are the hardest for us to win.
It's interesting to now be back involved in politics from a pure media perspective, and watching it from that lens, there are a lot of stupid people running our governments.
Yeah.
I mean, there just are.
You know, it is.
And the libertarian argument on a lot of stuff would resonate with people if you could get the message to them.
The message is, we want to take over to give it back to you and leave you alone, you know, plain and simple. And, you know, I heard us saying on the Bob and Tom show the other day about, you know, people who can't control their emotions try to control other people. And if you look at the government and you look at the people that run for office, many of them are trying to control other people because of past slights, and they use fear to control the population. And we let them do it. Because we never stand up. They thrive. Our political establishment thrives on our apathy. And the longer we are more apathetic and not, you know, like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, those are the candidates that our politics deserve. Those are the candidates that this nation deserves.
And you've gone into this in some detail before, but do you dislike Trump because you think he's disingenuous? I mean, like, because it's interesting because your co-host, Greg Lenz, we love Greg.
Sure.
Greg's not here, but we do want to tell Greg that we love him very much. He's extremely freedom-oriented, extremely libertarian. He loves Donald Trump.
That's because he believes that Donald Trump says what he means. And I look at Donald Trump's statements, like he said last week, where he said, everything I say right now is just a suggestion. Well, that's not the kind of person that I want running my government.
But that's what the president is. He can't, if he's, see, I think that would resonate with you because Obama rules a lot of times by edict, executive order. Trump's saying, look, I can't just do this. This is a suggestion. You guys tell me what you want and let's work together.
You're out of your mind. If you think that Donald Trump is not going to get in there and make a ton of executive orders, this guy is about winning. And his definition of winning is the definition of winning. And there, and as long as the Lord demands certain things, you know, I mean, he believes that he is the ultimate authority. I believe that he is a mentally ill, narcissistic person. I think that Ted Cruz, the last day of the Indiana race, absolutely nailed him. He's a pathological liar who says one thing differently than he does in the afternoon, differently than he does in the evening, and believes all of it. So I don't know what he believes. I don't know where he stands, and I don't trust him one bit. I think he's... I don't think that he's disingenuous. I don't think that he's playing a game where he is saying something he doesn't believe. I think that he's just so out of whack that he says different things and doesn't realize he's completely contradicting himself days later.
But how does it... See, I look at a guy like Trump and I say, this guy made a ton of money in his life. I mean, he was very successful. Now, I realize you think more he's just a self-marketer now.
No, he licenses his name. His business is hollow.
But he did. He has built great buildings and he's worked with people from all political
parties.
Built
on the foundation of a small loan of $1 million. You know, here's a guy who comes from wealth, who inherited a lot of wealth, who was given a big hand up. He's not a self-made man. He was given a lot of help along the way, and he is just somebody that I don't think has any idea what it's like to be the average American. I don't think that he's ever had to really struggle in his life, and I think that his behavior and the things that he says are absolutely out of bounds. I mean, the story last week that came out about his press secretary, you know, he has two press secretaries that these people for 30 years have called and talked to, like this guy named John Miller, and it's Trump. He's pretending to be somebody else to plant the right story. I think he is a great marketer. He understands what it takes to get media, but I don't think that necessarily, you know what it takes to get media and present yourself as more than you are. You know, come on. It isn't that hard to do, to pretend that you have a media empire. I'm doing it too. Admit it.
But I tried to tell this to Abdul. I want to watch this corrupt two-party system go away. And I think
replaced
Trump
by what?
Is the guy that can do it.
But Trump isn't, because if you come in and you shake up the foundations and put a guy like Trump up in there, what is it being replaced with? You know, it's being replaced by Donald Trump's vision of whatever Donald Trump wants. That's not the founding of our country. The founding of our country is that the government shouldn't exist. It should leave us all alone. You know, so the destruction of the country for the benefit of one man's ego is not something that I'm interested in at all.
Okay, I want to close with this. Trump tweeted the picture of him with the taco.
Oh my God.
Taco bowl last week, and yes. you put something out, and I don't even want to try to paraphrase it because I'd never heard of it before. But what did you? I mean, you were like petrified.
Petrified.
I mean, your post that was very cryptic and like. Was Donald Trump mind messing with
me?
Oh,
yeah. Gaslighting. Yes. So
is that a phrase we can say on the radio?
Yeah, gaslighting it comes from a 30s movie, and it's about, it's an emotional manipulation term that is especially used in a lot of domestic violence situations.
Did you have to look this up, or did you know this
phrase? No, I knew this already. I mean, anybody who has experience around people with domestic violence, or you spend any time trying to grow yourself emotionally, you learn the term gaslighting, and basically...
So that's my problem. I've never tried to grow myself emotionally.
Right, exactly. You're a stunted man with a small board. And so gaslighting is basically, you know, Rob, you're very small. No, I'm not. And then I just do whatever I can to make you think that my version of the truth, and you just are left disoriented and confused, and like you don't know what the truth is anymore, because you start to doubt yourself. And Donald Trump is the only political candidate in my life that has ever gaslighted me. I don't know if he's serious. I mean, the Taco Bowl picture was just so stunningly tone deaf that it couldn't be real. I thought it was The Onion. And the whole campaign, I think, is The Onion. It's like literally I can't understand how rational, thoughtful people like yourself think that this is a good idea. This is a person who is out of his mind, and I don't know why I can see it and you can't. I don't understand how you could take him seriously. And so, like, I look at it and I go, is this performance art? Here's a guy who sat there and thought that a Taco Bell post saying, I love Hispanics, was a good idea. Like, he thought that that was going to win him votes with Hispanics, or that was going, you know, or his following will say, he doesn't hate Hispanics. Look at that post. Meanwhile, anybody who's Hispanic goes, yeah, that's really gross, you know?
And now the other caveat to this, and I guess it's true, there was a picture of his ex-wife under the Taco Bell.
Yeah, no, that is the one fake one is the picture of him and Hitler in the back. That one's not real.
So, I just think it's very interesting, and I think it's opened up this whole new world of people coming involved in the political process, and I think that it's opened up an avenue for libertarians. I think the Trump presidency is going to end up going down as, or the Trump candidacy for president is going to go down in the history books as one that opened up the nation on all sides of the political spectrum.
I don't know. I mean, I think it can be bad in the way that people will try to emulate Trump. And there isn't anybody like Trump. You can't emulate Trump. There's, you know, people who say, oh, he's rewritten the rules of politics. No, he hasn't, because nobody can do what Donald Trump does. They don't, you know, they can't be obnoxious and likable at the same time for the most part. They just come across as obnoxious. So I don't know. I think he's more of a Ross Perot where it lasts for a couple cycles and then flames out, as opposed to the Goldwater Ron Paul model where it ignites a movement.
All right, Chris, you were wonderful. Thanks as always.
We are libertarians.
That was Chris Spangle. We are libertarians. Don't forget, if you missed any part of our interview, check out the podcast anytime you want by logging onto our website at wyrz.org. Until next time, I'm Rob Kendall saying have yourself a great evening.
You've been listening to Central Indiana Today with your host, Rob Kendall.
This is Donald James of Impact Youth Mentoring. Impact Youth is a not-for-profit mentoring organization providing mentoring services to the children of Hendricks County. We pair mentors ages 16 and older with youth in Hendricks County. Over the past 5 years, we have been able to impact over 120 children through our mentoring and tutoring programs. Information about becoming a mentor or finding a mentor for a child can be found at impactyouthmentoring.org or via email at impactyouth1010@gmail.com.